Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. I hope you've had a marvelous Monday or excited about what we're about to go forward and share, reflect upon in this previous week of A Man Don't Work, A Man Don't Eat. So before we get started, let's go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All right, Ms. Tiana, thank you, and I thank everybody for joining us. Let us go ahead and pray. So right where you are, go ahead and close your eyes, bow your heads, and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for allowing us to see another week of what you have in store for us, Father. Father God, as you place it on our plate, Father God, let us evaluate it, Father God, and trust in, Father God, that it will fill and nourish our bodies, our spirits, our minds, Father God, and help us to grow in the things that you ask of us to do, that you tell us, instruct us, require of us, Father God. Father God, as our love for you grows, Father God, let our obedience grow even more so. Father God, obedience is the very thing. Obedience to you is the very thing that can demolish sin. So we thank you, Father God, for giving us that avenue, that way out, Father God, to escape the grip hold of damnation, Father God, into your hands of eternal life. We thank you for that, Father. Right now, Father God, we lift up our loved ones. We lift up our family and our friends, Father God. And we just turn all our cares over to you. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Carr. Well, everyone, we're excited to be here because, once again, we're here to reflect upon this previous week of a man. If a man don't work, a man don't eat. And we really want to hear from each and every one of you. So please, please press *5 to share any scripture that you may have, share a comment, something you took away from this week. Maybe it was a scripture that inspired you that was shared this week. We want to hear from you. So that's *5. And as we look forward to hearing from you, there's one thing that I just wanted to share. As I reflected upon this week, if a man don't work, a man don't eat, the first thing that came to mind was that if we don't work, we won't be nourished. And what is nourish? Well, it's to provide in the natural with food. And in the spirit is a substance necessary for growth, for health, for good condition, typically for a long period of time. So it's to feed, it's to provide for, it's to sustain, it's to maintain. We may even hear it in a wedding service as to have and to hold for as long as we both shall live. Well, for Jesus Christ, Scripture states that his nourishment came from doing the will of God and finishing his work. For he provided his life to complete the work of salvation through his death. And explaining that to his disciples, why he must lay down his life, we come to the first scripture that I wanted to share this evening that I was led to, which was John chapter 12, verse 24, which states, "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new life. In nature, although a single grain of wheat is buried in the earth, the stalk that springs up out of the ground never bears merely just a single grain, but it bears a whole cluster of grains. So that one grain of wheat can multiply to 30, 60, or 100-fold. What's done in the natural is, of course, first done in the spiritual. Thus, the nourishment of Jesus' ministry cannot stop at his death. It was only through his death and burial, which is the planted in the soil, and his resurrection, the stalk coming out of the ground, could a great harvest of sinners be justified and reconciled in God. Only through death, burial, and resurrection could all those who believed in him, who put in the work, be nourished and to have and to hold eternal life. For us Christians, our spiritual nourishment may start with Bible study, with prayer, attending services. That's the work we're doing and continue to do to know God and his word. But since we are to be Christ-like, our nourishment must also replicate him, which will come from doing God's will, being active in our faith, and by helping plant seeds and harvesting new believers to Christ. We are nourished not only by what we take in or what we feed from, but by also by what we give out and what we provide for God. That was just one of the scriptures that really came to me, and I'm hoping that you have some as well. And so, caller, that's star 5 if you would like to share. I'll ask Ms. LaTanya. Ms. LaTanya, do you have any scriptures to share this evening?
Yes, Tiana, I do actually. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming to the forefront for me was everything that we do, as we talk about if a man don't work, a man don't eat, is everything, meaning our thoughts, our words, and our actions should be done for the glory of God. So everything that we do should be lining up with what he would have us to do. And one of the scriptures that I came across, is it comes from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. And the New International Version states, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." And another version, the New Living Translation states, "If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat." And the one thing I'd like to reiterate, just so that we could all be on one accord and just remember as we reflect back on the topic, is that when we say service, that equals to work. So we know that everything that God has ever said to us in his word has been said for our own good. And it's also conducive to our happiness here on earth, and also the life that is still yet to come in heaven, which is where we're all striving to get. So in order to get there, God expects a lot out of us. He expects us to do a lot of work, and that's where our obedience to God's will comes in. It also tells us that our faith to God and our love for him should be expressed in our obedience to him on a daily basis. So we know that God tells us if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So simply saying that we love God is not good enough. So it's what we do, which is the actual work, and our obedience to God that shows him just how much we honor him and love him. And as a result of our service to God and all the work that we do for him, so loving our neighbors, forgiving those who have wronged us, turning the other cheek, we're supposed to walk in humility. The scripture tells us that we will eat the good things of the land, and we will have plenty to eat. Hence, we will reap the rewards from our labor. So that means that we won't only be blessed in the natural with tangible things, but also spiritually. We'll obtain wisdom, peace, and joy, just to name a few. And one of the examples, there's so many in the Bible, but one of the examples, it comes from the story of Abraham, and we know that God gave him a command as well as a promise. And the command to him was to get out of his country, away from his family and from his father's house, and to go to a land that he was going to show him. Now, the promises that God had for Abraham were both physical and spiritual. So physically, Abraham's descendants would become a great nation. Now, the spiritual blessing in that was going to be fulfilled in the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. So God told Abraham, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between myself and you and your descendants after you in their generations." So the other thing that God told Abraham was that he would bless his wife and also give him a son by her. So all of this, all of these inheritance is what Abraham received just from his willingness to obey God, but also by doing exactly what God had told him to do. And like I said, that's just one of the examples from the Bible that a lot of us may be familiar with as we talk about what the scripture tells us is being willing and obedient. And if we put in that work, if we obey God and do what he tells us to do, then we're going to have plenty to eat. We're going to reap the rewards of the work that we're putting in.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Ms. LaTanya. That is absolutely so valid. And we have a caller who wants to share, so let's go ahead and open up the line. All right. Good evening, caller. Glad you're on the line. Would you like to share your comment or scripture for this evening?
Sure. Hello, everyone. I wanted to share, I guess it's two that kind of tie together, and it's Proverbs 6:10-12, and it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and obscurity like an armed man, a troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth. And that kind of ties with Proverbs 16:27-29, idle hands are the devil's workshop, idle lips are his mouthpiece. So it's saying, like, we have to work. When we're just sitting around not working for God, working for God or anything, when we're not doing anything, that's the time when things start wandering in our minds.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, caller. That is so true. We have to be active. We have to be constantly working. And as the word says, when we're idle, like you said, the devil can have his playground. And definitely try his hardest to get into our thoughts, into our spirits, into our minds, and take us away from the work that we're supposed to be doing in Christ. So true. Thank you so much for sharing those scriptures this evening. Callers, there's a few that you've just joined. If you'd like to share any scriptures or comments from this week, anything that you've taken away, please go ahead and press *5. We would definitely love to hear from you. Another scripture that was presented to me this week was from John chapter 3, verse 27. And it states, to this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Just to give a little background in this scripture, John the Baptist is actually responding to inquiries and discord amongst his disciples, basically answering the question, why did John continue to baptize it after Jesus came on the scene? Why were there more people following Jesus instead of John? As you all know, John was Jesus' cousin who came before him, and he was on assignment. He was sharing that the Messiah was coming. And after he baptized Jesus Christ, right, his disciples started rumbling. Satan was definitely playing on their minds as to what's going on here. Why is your following decreased? And John humbly responded to them and said, a man can receive nothing. Basically, he can claim nothing at all unless it has been granted to him from heaven. But there's no other source than the sovereign will of God. In other words, only through God do we receive employment so that we may eat. Is that correct? And John knew that. He knew that it wasn't about him or the size of his following. His mission, his job, his assignment was to influence people to follow Christ. And that did not change once Christ began his ministry. In the same way, mm-hmm. we must remember that God has given us all gifts, which is one of the ways in which he nourishes us. But we must remember that any gift given to us is not our own. Just like any blessing we receive is for us to pass on. Not selfishly, keep to ourselves, but can we honestly say that we are paying forward all that God has given us? Can we? Are we idly sitting on it? Are we not taking up our assignments? Are we not using those gifts that God has given us to feed his people? That's what we are supposed to be doing. So God has a special job. He has a special assignment. He has work for each of us to do. Thus, if we don't work as he calls us to do, we in turn block the nourishment he wants us to pass on to others. Just like John, whenever our assignment may seem like they are getting smaller, that there's challenges that come in day in or day out, or that things aren't going as we perceive they should, or others may perceive as they should go, like his disciples, we have to remember that until God calls us to do something different, we must remain active in our faith, humbly staying in our lane and not quitting what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be working unto the Lord and turning people to Jesus Christ. And that, for me, was so much food for my soul this week. Indeed. So anything, hope there's something that you all are all interested in sharing as well. And to do so, that would be star five. Star five. Did you have another scripture or something you wanted to reflect on, Ms. Latanya?
I did, Tiana, and it actually goes in line with what you were just talking about when you said working unto the Lord, and that's something that has helped me tremendously this past week. As I was saying in the beginning, it was something that I was able to take away from the message. But the other scripture that I was reflecting on comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 in the New Living Translation, and it states, "Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." So today, in the world today, you know, the way a lot of our minds work is that we'll only put in work if we know that we'll get some type of earthly benefit from it. But God tells us, much like you were just saying, that we must always work as if we're working unto Him. And working unto Him, meaning that we may not always receive something tangible. You know, a lot of times we're called to do things that will end up blessing someone else. And ultimately what that does is pleases God. So, which brings us back to the latter part of the scripture that says the master you are serving is Christ. So we all may be assigned to someone, you know, who we call a boss, or much like for children who have been assigned to parents and caregivers, and we have to keep in mind, and our main goal should always be to bring glory to God's name. So even our bosses and our parents, whoever that we are following instructions from, must obey God first and foremost. So we have to keep that in mind, you know, even as a body of Christ, we know that we're called to serve God because He's the one who created us and He sustains us each and every day. And, you know, a lot of times we complain because we don't get the results that we think we should get from the work that we've done. And we have to remember that the complaining, what it does is it shows God, you know, where our focus lies. So it's typically when we do that, it's on ourselves rather than on Jesus Christ. But God tells us that in order to serve Him, we must first deny ourselves. And what the complaining also does is, it displays a lack of servitude and discipleship. So we have to remember that service, servitude, and work all go hand in hand. So if we don't work, meaning serve God wholeheartedly, we don't eat naturally or spiritually, meaning that we won't reap anything tangibly, nor will we reap the inheritance that God promises us in the scripture. So simply put, if a man don't work, a man don't eat.
That's right. That's right. Man, mouthful, Ms. Latanya, and I'm so happy that you shared that because there's also that work that we're supposed to do. Mr. Carl Wednesday asked us, you know, who's hiring? He even went through a list of fast food restaurants that many, you know, would prefer to be unemployed instead of being seen as those locations, right? But God wants us to work hard and to do our best, even with small and what may be seemingly insignificant responsibilities. He expects us to do our best at all times. And right, to share one scripture that came to mind for me with that is from Ruth, chapter 2, verse 7, which states, she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheep behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Ruth basically did the task of what we may think is menial, we might think is absolutely unacceptable for our time to reap our rewards, but she did it faithfully. She was willing to be behind all those who were doing their work and basically graze off of the things that fell out of their findings. She was willing to take, actually, sheaves, meaning first fruit. She was willing to take the little before it actually grew into something more. And all day, all night, without complaint, was willing to work. And that's what we are all here to do. Work unto the Lord
day in, day out, no matter where he needs us to be, we are to be there without complaint. So I Amen. Hope that you all received the great word and we and ate well. And right now we'll hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Tiana. So this week we've been talking about if a man don't work, a man don't eat. I don't like to get so holier than thou all the time, because a lot of times God is so simplistic in his approach. Because none of us combined could ever fully understand God right now.
Yes,
according to Corinthians, it says that. It says we only know God in part. Even the best of the best of the best of the best only know God in part. He said when God returns, the day of judgment, he'll pour his wisdom. And then we can, on us, then we'll be able to know him fully and understand and be able to judge ourselves according to him.
Yes. Cool.
With that being said, we don't have to be so holier than thou to try and take someone where they know the word. People know the word. They know it's there. That hadn't worked. Got to be a better way to get this. If a man don't work, a man don't eat. Got to be. Okay. Don't people have to earn your trust? Sure they do. Now, you might want to be good right now while you're on the phone and you're being politically correct, but if you be honest with yourself, don't people earn your trust?
Mm-hmm.
How anybody earn anything? Okay. Who's your best friend? Didn't they earn that title? What relationship you in? Didn't they earn the right to be called your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, so forth and so on?
Right.
That means some work was established. It doesn't have to be physical labor work, but it has to be work to give to something to make something grow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't work on something, something doesn't grow. Period. If you don't work on cleaning your house, what happens? It's going to be in total chaos. You can do a one room at a time. You can do one room this week, one room that week, but at least you get the job accomplished. So we don't have to complicate things with God so much to where we throw in scripture. Let's look at reality. What we see. Now, God is reality, but our natural eyes, God will meet us where we are. If you don't work, you don't eat. The people who you, quote-unquote, don't like, who, quote-unquote, are your enemies, are deemed to be. Why are they your enemies? Because no friendship was established. Nothing was worked on. So can they eat of the good of your friendly nature? Right?
Right.
That's what you say. Now, of course, we should be friendly all the time. Of course, we know that. The fact of the matter is, we have that little gene in us that's called get your mind right. And it doesn't always line up with the word of God, does it?
That's right. Yeah.
So if a man don't work, a man don't eat, even when it comes to natural things. Typically the people who even have better houses, better cars and things like that, work. Now that's not the case for everybody. Because, the decisions that we make it affect that. I mean, you may have more children. This is why some people don't have as many children, because they want to save a lot more for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talk about the elephant in the room. A lot of people don't like that, but it is what it is. Back in the day, man, they used to have families, 6, 7, 8 kids was nothing. You say that today, and somebody going, you're going to look at them like they're an alien. You have how many kids?
Mm-hmm. Right. True.
But didn't the parents still work? They worked. They had nothing to show for it per se for themselves. But didn't them children eat?
They sure did.
So in today's generation, and, adults, us adults now, we say the younger generation is, they kind of messed up. But I wonder what our parents said about us. It stands to be true because the Bible says that in the last days that men will become lovers of themselves. Is that not indicative of that? Boy, you can make every excuse you want to, but you already know a big part of the reason why we don't flourish and have big, big families. See, some of us only have one uncle, and that's it. One auntie, and that's it. That's all we have. But then some families, big, they have about 8 of them over there, 12 of them over there. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But money has been a big issue. It's been self-inflicted that we just want. So I want to work for me, not for a family per se. We take all that into consideration, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We do. So, in other words, it's easier for me to maintain something smaller. So, in other words, I don't have to work as hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural stance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the spiritual thing, God wants us to do so much greater. We have one spiritual gift, and we just go and we work on that one spiritual gift. But I do believe that he gave talents in the Bible. And he said, you know, when he gave the talents, he wanted them to work their talents with some or one. Here it is. So if you hear it, that means you never worked on it. You can't produce more. I am thoroughly convinced that if God has given you a talent, God has given you an opportunity, it's not just for that. It's to open more doors. Nobody can tell me different.
Amen.
If you work, you will eat. God is not a God of just meeting you right where you are. He said that you're more than a conqueror. That alone should let you know that when he gives you one talent, it's to open more than one door.
Yes, right.
The problem, though, is we don't want to work. That's the problem. The gift is not the problem. The one who gave the gift is not the problem. The problem lies in the one who receives it. God gave Satan limited access, and Satan is using every door that he can. He working his evil. Why can't we work our good?
Yes.
Y'all, write down real quickly. I want to give two scriptures. Write down Revelations 22 and 12. Revelation 22 and 12, and read that for me, Ms. Tiana. Revelation 22 and 12. Y'all write that down. We're going to read that real quickly. I just want to touch that right quick, Ms. Tiana.
All right. In the New International Version, it states, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done.
Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each as is his work." That's called reaping and sowing. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you've never worked for God, what does God have to give you?
Amen.
You don't have to get super spiritual. Love is working for God. But your love should be worked to where you only used to love your family. Now you're loving your neighbor too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Lord.
I promise you, when you're doing it God's way, when you're doing it God's way, other things are start to happen. Only because you are working. And you know, just like a boss gives bonuses, so do God. The bonus is he's going to open another door, but you didn't see it.
Come on.
Because we box God up. And we say, we're only working, and I'm only going to receive this because God only gave me a voice to sing, and that's it. No, that singing voice can actually come into a teaching voice, too.
Yes.
See, God loves a diligent worker. The thing is, when you work for God, see, what happens then, if he say somebody's not available, do you mind taking this shift? You should eagerly say yes. The only reason he asks you is because he also equipped you. But he equipped you, and you didn't think that you were.
Amen.
Think about it, child. Even in the natural, why would your boss ask you to come and work on Saturday if you didn't have the, if you wasn't qualified to do so?
Right.
Now, if that's your natural boss who knows nothing about you, they're only going by the external. What about the spiritual God who created you, who knows everything about you?
Right.
A man don't work, a man don't eat. God is trying to provide more. My cup runneth over. Do you just say that? Just to say it, or do you really believe it? Because if you really believe it, we have no problem working for God, because God, shoot, I got so much on me, I need to bless others with anyway. And see, my thing is, I'll never stop at just doing the gym. I want to do premium print. I want to do a whole bunch of stuff. I want to do, people going to say, you working like a Jamaican. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody lied. We Christians, and we let somebody in the world say, I don't get tired. My. How can they not get tired of making money and we can't get tired of making God happy? How you make God happy? Faith is what pleases him. What is faith? Faith without works. Boom, we can stop right there. Look at faith attached to work. And you ain't even catch it.
Yep.
You can go ahead and say you believe in God all you want to and then mope around. You ain't putting in no work. That's why you ain't eating. Because if you was eating of God, you would be growing in God. And when you grow in God, you don't look defeated no more.
Amen.
I ain't never see the child that say, my mom and them ain't feeding me. No, if your mama feeding them, you're going to see a plump child. You should be plump in God's spirit.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, indeed.
Because you're working. Huh? Okay, let me give y'all one more scripture. I said I was going to have two. Go ahead and write down Matthew 16 and 27. Ms. Tiana, I'm going to have you read that. Y'all write that down. Matthew 16 and 27. Ms. Tiana?
Yes, and we do have a caller that has something to share as well, Mr. Carr. But Matthew 16 and 27 states, for the Son of Man is going to come and his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Amen.
Say that one more time.
For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Yes. Amen.
Reward every man according to his works. Now, you do know that God not only recognizes the work, but it has to be attached to something called love. Because if love is not involved in work, that means faith is not prevalent. It's not evident there.
Yes.
So God rewards according to your work, not the work that natural man may think about, because you put in 50 hours a week. Mm-mm, that ain't going to get it. You putting in 50 hours chasing money, but how many hours are you putting in chasing God? Quick question.
Yes, Lord.
Quick question. Go ahead and write that down and put that on your refrigerator. Write on your refrigerator, I refuse to work more for man than I do for God. Now, if you can write that down and be honest with yourself and live by that, you, my friend, will be okay.
Yes, Lord.
But how can you tell God you love him, but yet working for man more than you work for him? That's almost like somebody telling you that they love you, yet they going back to their ex more than they talk to you.
Mm.
I don't think you would like that, huh?
Not at all.
But we expect God to just take anything that we throw out. And I will rally and cry, Ms. Latonya is, but he know my heart. Okay?
Yes.
He sure do. He know the heart of everybody. Why some people going to hell? Answer that. He know they hard too.
Right.
Now, what callers do we have? What the?
Yeah. Sure. Good evening, caller. Please go ahead and share your comment for this evening.
Hello, everyone. One of the things that stuck out for me last week was a question that Mr. Carr asked that said, at what point does our help become a hindrance? And just to share a little story. I had someone that I would talk to from time to time, a young man. Eventually, it led to him being comfortable enough to start asking me to assist him, whether it was something to eat or, you know, just giving him some money to put in his pocket. And over time, that just became something that was, he got relaxed in doing. While I was thinking that I was encouraging him to get up off of his, you know, get up on his feet and move past the things that were in his past, he began to get comfortable with the fact that I was doing what I was doing for him. And it wasn't to the point, it wasn't until I got to the point where it's like, okay, I'm constantly talking to you, I'm constantly doing these things for you, yet it's not helping you because you're continuing to sit down. You know, what's going on? And so he continued to hide behind his past experiences, his run-ins with the law, and things like that. So I said, well, okay, at this point, you know, you're young enough, you're healthy, you're able to get up and do something. So whatever it is that's keeping you from doing it, let's take it to God in prayer. Let's ask him to help you to overcome whatever it is. And so eventually he went on. He has a job. He's been working for the last couple of years. And he now he has a car, so he's getting on his feet. And he was, you know, eventually he came back and he said, thank you, because it wasn't until you said those things I realized I was taking advantage of a good person. And so there's a scripture, I could probably share something similar, but I just want to share this one. It comes from Proverbs, and it says, this is chapter 24, verses 33 to 34. It says, a little sleep, a little rest, folding your arms and taking a nap. These things will make you poor very quickly. Soon you will have nothing, as if a thief broke in and took everything away. So for us, the person that's doing the helping, first and foremost, if we're not doing it, if it's not something that God has led us to doing, then, you know, nothing good comes from the flesh. So obviously the enemy is there, and we can fall into a little sleep, take a little rest, take a nap. And eventually when we wake up, when that light bulb comes on and we realize that we don't have anything and all that we've put into that person or all that we've been doing, we have nothing to show for it, then that's the part where it is, you know, it looks as though a thief has came in and taken everything. So just for us just being led by God to be able to do what it is that we're doing, whether we think we're doing good, if it's not him leading us to it, then it's not right. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that, Ms. Shire. Okay, do we have anyone else?
That's it, Mr. Comer.
All right. So with that being said, y'all, I hope these scriptures, I hope the call this week has helped someone. You know, because if a man don't work, a man don't eat. Okay, I know you have your rules and your standards according to your household, you know, but remember you also uttered the word that says, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So in serving God, that means you give God his way. You let him have his way. You let him do whatever he wants to do. And when your house serves God, you'll see that working unto God has everything to do with first faith and love and character building inwardly, spiritually. Working on your spirit, man. And then it manifests in the natural. Everybody got it?
Yes, sir.
Like with anything else, you have to work your faith. When you work your faith, you eat. You eat. You eat. And you know when your body is strong and, you know, you big and big muscles and your strong body and, you know what I'm saying, you can maneuver and things like that. Nobody wants to mess with you. Because they can physically see you a threat. I wonder how Satan views you, as a wimp or as a threat, based on what you eat.
Yes,
he loves the food of God. Oh, he know who you are. But I mean, he still won't try you, but he know who you are. The thing is, do you know who you are? Now, if he views you as a wimp, well... He ain't even going to mess with you. He going to send one of his lamps.
Yes, Lord.
Like discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like doubt. He don't even have to mess with you. He send them out on assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you big and strong, as they say, strong, when you big and strong because you've been working and you've been eating and you've been working and you've been eating, see, Jesus, who met Satan in the wilderness? I mean, who met Jesus in the wilderness? It sure was no demons. It was Satan himself.
Yes, I did.
Because he know that Jesus had put in work. And he know that Jesus had been eaten. But he still wanted to try.
That's right.
If a man don't work, a man don't eat. Physically, his body was weak. But spiritually, he knew that was the Father in the flesh. He knew it.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all see that?
Yes,
yes,
Lord.
Oh, yes.
See, the thing about it, let me flip it before we get off the phone call. Just like Jesus in the wilderness, When Satan can't work in your life, remember this applies to him too. When Satan cannot work in your life, remember this applies to the devil too. If he don't work, he don't eat. That means he dies of malnutrition. He suffers. He's anorexic. That means he's done away with. His bones wither away. That means that if he can't work in your life, he can't eat. That means he has to flee.
Yes.
Give Satan a job.
Come on.
Employ him. If you keep him on the outer scope, he has the opportunity to knock. He has the right to knock, and you have the right to say no. Somebody just the other day, I was going outside my house, and they said, sir, do you have, 50 cents? Flesh wanted to rise up and say, sure. I said, what you need 50 cents for? You know, your emotions start to work in. I said, what you need 50 cents for? I was going to the vehicle. He said, to give me something to drink. I said, well, you have a nice night. He's like, well, I'm just getting out of jail. I just want to give me a little drink. I said, a drink of what? I'll go get it for you. He said, a beer. He said, I'm just being honest. I said, I'm going to be honest, too. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you be honest with me, and I'm going to be honest with you. He said, well, I can only be honest. And I said, I can only be honest, too.
Amen.
My thing is I'm not feeding a bad habit, because when you feed a bad habit, it grows. Parents.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Okay. So when you don't let Satan work in your life, he withers away because he has no power. You know, when you don't eat, you kind of feel delirious. You get weak. You want to go lay down somewhere? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make Satan. He's been making us feel like that all our life. It's time to reverse the tables.
Amen.
A man don't work.
Amen.
A man don't eat. Don't let him work. And let's see what he do. Because you know when somebody don't eat, I mean, when they don't work and you don't have no food in there for them, guess what? They leave your house, don't they?
Yes, that's right.
Don't act brand new. You know when you ain't cooked for that man? And then what your parents say? A way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, guess what? Satan know that too.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and pray, Miss Tiana.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come together on this line to share in you. Heavenly Father, you truly showed us a man don't work, a man don't eat. May we be faithful in working unto you, dear Lord, each and every day. Heavenly Father, may we continue to take the gifts and the talents that you've provided us, Heavenly Father, and serve all of those whom you send our way. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry. To bless all who are receiving of it, continue to bless our leader, and continue to guide him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 We'll see you all on, tonight is Monday, we'll see you all on Wednesday. Okay, make sure you call in, you have your pens and pads and paper ready. Take some notes, invite somebody. Okay, it's going to be family day on Wednesday. On the phone, invite somebody. Don't take it lightly. Invite somebody, because you never know who looking for a word from God.
That's right.
It helps you, right? Help somebody else. Yeah. Have a great night on Wednesday.
All right. Good night.
Good night.